Let's switch topics and get into something non-fire for a change, because we hear more about blooms of toxic algae in recent years because those blooms appear to be happening more often. And it goes beyond just warning people not to swim or play in water where there's a bloom. It can also get into drinking water and force water systems to shut down. The Environmental Working Group took a look at costs incurred when toxic algae blooms affect systems and found that over 10 years, the price tag went up to $75 billion. Ann Schechinger is an EWG senior economic analyst. And Ann, I hope I've pronounced your last name something close to correctly.
Yeah, you got it right. It's a tough one, I know.
All right. Well, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. Tell us about what you did in launching the investigation here, what you chose to look at.
So there's no federal agency that publicly tracks incidents of algae blooms across the nation in all bodies of water. So the federal government tracks algae blooms in kind of just the largest lakes. So a few years ago, we started tracking news reports of blooms to kind of have a better proxy of how frequent these blooms are occurring across the country. So then now in our new analysis, we went and looked at the stories on our news report map of national bloom locations, and we wanted to find how much these blooms are really costing communities on the ground. So we went back and looked at all of our locations of algae blooms since 2010, and we found that these blooms are costing communities over $1.158 billion. And this is just in treatment and prevention costs. So we know that this isn't including everything, because blooms are very costly for a lot of different reasons. So this is just the cost of mitigating these blooms.
All right, let me go back and restate them, because I clearly blew it on the figures coming in. So the price tag for Oregon, $75 million over those 10 years. The price for everybody, $1.15 billion. So I have my figures transposed there. My apologies for that. So, but that's still a significant amount of money, $1 point something billion, to be able to take care of algae blooms. And you're not talking about monitoring. You're talking about actual public responses to outbreaks.
Correct. We didn't include monitoring costs, because monitoring costs are usually a lot of money, but we specifically wanted to look at what kind of financial burden are these communities really bearing to clean up the algae bloom problem. So we found 85 locations across the U.S. that had spent the total $1.158 billion to either prevent or treat those blooms. So a lot of that treatment money is for drinking water treatment costs, or also actually spraying chemicals on a bloom in a water body. That's another way that a lot of communities have treated blooms. And just the main state for spending was Ohio, which we know a lot about. You know, they've had a lot of issues with algae blooms in Lake Erie, starting really in 2014 when the city of Toledo had to issue a do not drink order. So Ohio communities alone spent 70% of that money, or over $815 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. So, let me come back a couple of steps, though, because you talk about the spraying of chemicals in the water to stop, or I assume kill, the toxic algae. That implies some level of toxicity in itself.
Correct. So the reason why we really care about algae blooms in the first place is because they can produce toxins that can be really harmful to public health. So algae toxins like microcystin can have short-term health impacts like nausea or vomiting or respiratory problems. But then there's also some longer-term effects we're now seeing, like liver failure or cancer. And newer research is even starting to come in about algae toxin exposure and developing degenerative brain disorders like ALS. So these blooms are really scary sometimes, because they can produce pretty dangerous toxins. And then one of the ways that a lot of communities will treat blooms is to spray alum, which is a compound, onto the bloom. And that binds with the bloom and kind of tries to sink it down to the bottom of the lake. So we're not exactly sure, you know, what alum would do for toxicity in a lake, but that's usually really only used in recreational lakes. So we don't see a lot of people who use a lake with an algae bloom as a source for drinking water spraying alum on their bloom.
Ann Schechinger is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a senior economic analyst with the Environmental Working Group. We're talking about the EWG's report showing the cost of algae bloom cleanups over the course of 10 years, from 2010 to, was it 2009 to 2019?
It was 2010 through this year so far.
Okay, so there we go. And the cost ended up being $1.15 billion across the country, $75 million in Oregon, almost $53 million in California. If you have questions or comments about the toxic algae blooms and their effects and what it's costing us to clean them up, join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone or send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Does the billion-dollar figure surprise anyone? I can imagine you plugging things into a spreadsheet and seeing as the numbers add up and they just kept getting higher and higher.
I think it definitely surprised me just how much money that is over just 85 locations. You know, since we're only including treatment and prevention costs, we know the actual cost of algal blooms are a lot more money. You know, we're not looking at the cost of property values from algae blooms or you know, damage to commercial fisheries or even tourism reduction, like in Florida, when they have algae blooms, they lose a lot of money in their local cities because people aren't going there to swim and recreate because of algae blooms. So $1.158 billion is really a lot of money for cleanup, but we know that these blooms are costing even more money every year.
And does the weight fall more heavily in recent years, Anne? In other words, is the trend line in costs swinging upward over time?
So we definitely see more blooms in the more recent years than earlier. So our story map looks at blooms from 2010 through today, and we have seen over 1,000 locations of blooms since then, and we definitely see more stories in recent years than in previous years. So like last year, we had over 500 news reports of blooms, and in 2010, we had less than 100. So we know overall that the bloom problem is getting worse. But we have to do a little bit more research to know if the cost situation is getting worse. But my opinion is it's definitely getting worse, especially because we're kind of on the beginning of communities really embracing treating these problems. So the last couple of years, a lot of communities have just been monitoring. And now that they've gotten monitoring data back, they really are going to start spending money to fix the problem. So we really think we're just kind of at the beginning and that the costs are going to only grow larger every year.
Yeah, I did want to ask specifically about monitoring. I know Oregon's had a harmful algae bloom program. We've been even using the HAB acronym for a few years now, but it seems like that's not necessarily universal across the country. There are a lot of states that still have yet to set up algae monitoring programs.
There are so many states that don't do any algae monitoring, and there's no federal requirement for monitoring of algae blooms in recreational bodies. There's a little bit of federal requirement for testing for cyanotoxins in drinking water, under the EPA's unregulated contaminant monitoring rule, but that rule for cyanotoxins actually ends this year. So any testing that water systems are currently doing under the EPA for the drinking water, we're not sure if they're even going to be required to do that testing after this year. But when you look at states, Oregon is actually a really great example. Oregon does recreational monitoring for harmful algal blooms, and then they also require water systems to test for cyanotoxins. So they're going way above and beyond what many other states and even what the EPA is asking states to do.
So between the recreational and the drinking water, is most of what we're talking about in the $1.15 billion, is that drinking water cases?
So out of that money, 25% was specifically for drinking water treatment. Okay. But when we look at Oregon specifically, that $75 million all goes towards drinking water treatment. So all of that $75 million is for improving the water treatment system in Salem after Salem had the microcystin and cylindrospermopsin cyanotoxin issue in their drinking water in 2018. So that huge amount is just going to one city's water treatment update. So removing these cyanotoxins from drinking water can be really, really expensive for a community.
Salem actually had to shut down the system for a couple of days and urge people not to use. What was the situation there? I recall some of it.
Yeah, Salem had high levels of cylindrospermopsin and microcystin, two cyanotoxins, in their drinking water in 2018, and so they had to warn people who are considered vulnerable populations, so children and older people, to not drink the water. So that's really scary as a, you know, a water drinker, a regular person. You don't want to have your water system telling you it's not safe for your daughter or your grandma to drink the water. So that is what happened in Salem, and that actually is what encouraged the state of Oregon to make all water systems that get their drinking water from a surface water source like a lake to start testing for cyanotoxins.
Previously, they had not been before 2018?
Correct, because the EPA before the unregulated contaminant monitoring rule, the EPA did not require any water systems to test for cyanotoxins. So systems were only test if they knew they had an issue or if it was just something that they were curious about. So Salem was already testing because they had a history of some levels of cyanotoxins in their source water.
All right, so Salem certainly significant in Oregon. And then in California, which actually has a lower figure spent on these outbreaks, $53 million roughly to Oregon's $75 million. What were some of the outbreaks there?
So California has a mix of both recreational costs and drinking water treatment costs. So in California, one of the big drinking water treatment costs was Lake Del Val Valley. I'm not from California, so I'm probably pronouncing that right. But that community spent $49 million alone just in last year and this year, so it's kind of a new project. But they are completely building a new water treatment facility to use ozone to actually disinfect water and to remove cyanotoxins. So that was kind of the big drinking water story in California when it comes to harmful algal blooms. And then a lot of other locations have also been trying to treat water in treat blooms in the lake. So Big Bear Lake has applied alum, that chemical we were talking about earlier, to blooms in their lake in previous years, and Canyon Lake and Pinto Lake have all done the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Is there a guess that that you're going to see these numbers continue to climb over time as water gets warmer and conditions get more favorable for algae to grow, toxic and otherwise?
Definitely. We know that the costs are just going to get higher and higher because we're seeing more and more frequent blooms. So climate change really has a huge impact on the growth and occurrence of blooms, because blooms really just grow when nutrients like phosphorus and nitrogen mix with heat and sunlight, and large rains tend to wash more of these chemicals off of farm fields, which are major contributors of these chemicals to blooms. And since climate change is creating these conditions that are hotter and have more severe rain events, we know climate change is going to make more blooms and potentially more toxic blooms over time.
Do you see some moves in the states that don't have programs yet to get them together, or is it moving in the opposite direction? Because, as you point out, the EPA's drinking water requirement to test for these kinds of toxins is expiring.
We're definitely seeing states move more towards monitoring instead of away. I know that, like in Mississippi last year, all of their beaches on the Gulf Coast were closed for the summer because of a large blue-green algae bloom that was affecting the coastal area. And so before that, they had not done any monitoring. They were totally surprised by this bloom, didn't really realize what was happening. And so now after having that event, they're definitely doing a lot more monitoring to make sure that they're not surprised again.
All right. Well, yeah, not getting surprised so much by the events as by the numbers that it's taking to deal with them. $1.15 billion across the country over the last 10 years as tracked by the Environmental Working Group, $75 million in Oregon, $53 million in California. Ann Schechinger is a senior economic analyst with the Environmental Working Group. Thank you for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Good to have you.